Well, here it is, 16 July, D-Day for Operation Freeway. Operation Freeway was an operation designed to open Highway 19 from Quingon to Pleiku. Pleiku has been isolated since the start of the VC summer campaign, which began the latter part of May with the onset of the monsoon season and the heavy rains. The VC campaign this time started with a series of ambushes. These ambushes were designed to cut down the strength of the Arvin forces, destroying them a battalion at a time. One of our battalions, the 1st of the 40th, was reduced to 70 men after a particularly severe ambush. Concurrently with these ambushes, the VC started a program of road interdiction. They cut the roads leading from Pleiku south to Bamituat, Highway 14. Highway 14 to the north, the Kontoon, was also cut. The road running from Pleiku to Haubon, another provincial capital, to the southeast is also cut, this one permanently. And the Road 19, the main MSR from Quingon to Pleiku, was cut in several places with several bridges blown out. This was very similar to the interdiction of the road, which took place during the VC offensive during February of this year. Now for the VC strength. The VC strength in this area consists of the 325th Pavan Division with the 101st Regiment in Kontoon, the 95th Regiment in Pleiku, the 2nd Regiment and the 18th Regiment in Haubon, and another unidentified regiment south of Pleiku, and one in the mountains to the west of Pleiku. According to our G2 predictions, the VC should be able to interfere with our road movement with an attack by up to 2 regiments on D-Day, increasing to D plus 2 or D plus 3 up to a total of 5 regiments. This in addition to local guerrilla forces and so forth. Friendly forces for this operation consist of those shown on the small card enclosed with the tape. As you can see, this is one of the largest helicopter concentrations and concentrations of Arvin troops that we have had here in the Vietnamese War. It is, in fact, the largest series of troop movements that they have had. During the past few days, all traffic, to include casuals and so forth, even people going home, has been stopped. While we have concentrated 123s and 130s, flying troops from Saigon, all over Tu Corps, and so forth, concentrating for our effort. Next, to describe Highway 19. You can say Highway 19 is divided into about 4 major parts, starting from Pleiku. We're on the Highland Plateau here in Pleiku, and we go from the Highland Plateau due east to the mountain range. A critical portion where there have been many relatively small ambushes is the mountain range, which culminates in a high pass called the Manyang Pass. Then going down from the Manyang Pass, we're in the Ancave Valley. The Ancave Valley proper consists about 20% of the road. It is in this area that the Group Mobile was completely wiped out in the 1954 campaign of the Viet Minh against the French. And it is here in February that we had a whole series of ambushes and counter-ambushes in the area. It was quite a fight for a period of about 10 days. After the Highland Ancave Valley, we move east again and hit another pass, the Ancave Pass. From this pass, it falls down rapidly to about the last third of the road, which runs across the plains and rice paddies of Binh Dinh down to Quingon. Now for responsibility. For the first part of the road that I described in the Highland Plateau, this was turned over to the province, for province responsibility. This is a relatively easy section. They're using regional and popular forces along here, plus some of our tanks from Pleiku here, and the Ranger Battalion, the 22nd Ranger Battalion. This section was secured by the province on D-1. Also at the same time, starting out from the other end, the 22nd Division assumed the responsibility for the section of the road running through the rice paddies and up through and to include Ancave Pass. For this, they used a battalion of infantry plus a provisional armored cavalry battalion consisting of a couple of armored personnel carrier troops. a company of M41 tanks, a new group that's just joined us, plus assorted regional force and popular force companies, and a scout company. The remainder of the road is the responsibility of the Airborne Brigade. The Airborne Brigade consists of two airborne task forces, one of three battalions, the other of two battalions, plus a Marine task force of two battalions. Incidentally, as far as the Marines go, we also have a Marine battalion here flown in for Quang Nai to give us a reserve here in the Pleiku area and to protect the city. Incidentally, in our shifting around, we had to move another battalion from the training center up to hold Kontum, and one of our ranger battalions here from Pleiku to hold Kontum during this operation, which will last about 10 days. Now, as I said, today is D-Day. There are two operations jumping off here on D-Day after we got the two ends of the road on D-1. Number one, we have massed six helicopter companies, 150 helicopters here for one of the biggest operations in the theater. Incidentally, at An K, we have massed three airborne battalions flying them in. And incidentally, one of our biggest problems here has been with logistics, trying to get 2,000 barrels of POL flown into the An K airfield, PSP and engineers put in to repair the airfield because it starts breaking up under our heavy planes going in. And it's been quite a hassle all the way through with planes flying at night, rainstorms coming in, diversions. You just can't imagine all of it. C-130s breaking down on the runway and so forth. But the staff has done an excellent job. We finally got people in position to go. But incidentally, here on D-Day, the Airborne Battalion Brigade is leaving one battalion in An K as reserve and flying in this morning with two battalions in a helicopter assault deep into the VC area north of Highway 19. In conjunction with this, an attack is being launched through the sector area, Pleiku sector area, into the mountain area to the Manyang Pass by the Marine Task Force. They are doing this to uncover the area to the Manyang. This is on D-Day. Next plan of operations calls for the airborne to strike to the southwest from their landing zone, and the airborne task force of two battalions passing through the Marines on D+1 and attacking due east. The two airborne task forces will link up. Once they've linked up, then we are ready to move the engineers in, repair the roads all night long, and be ready on D+3 to start the convoys rolling. As I say, quite an operation. This is also tied in with airstrikes through the whole period, and also a massive strike by B-52s to a known VC concentration area south of the road. The airborne task force that jumps off tomorrow will be going through this area where we expect this B-52 strike to take out a certain area. This area is one that the Viet Minh used in 1954 for ambushes of the Group Mobile. It's also the same area that they used for ambushes against us in February, and G2 feels that knowing this area, they will move in there in strength again, be prepared. At least, if nothing else, we'll have this fire down into the suspected area of VC as a preparation and then attack with the airborne task force through this area. Yeah. Well, that's how it stands on D-Day. I'm taking off for breakfast now at 6:30 and then moving out with the general down to see the airborne task force air assault into the area. Of course, we're going down complete with C-47, NBC TV cameramen, and all the rest. And we'll be up at about 4,000 feet off to one flank watching this air assault. Well, here it is, 11:45, and I'm just getting ready to hit the sack so I can get up tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock and go again. Things worked out fairly good today. Of course, the Marines who were supposed to launch their attack down the road didn't take off on time because they had about 90 men and their live pigs and chickens and so forth left out at the airfield up at Dak To, which is north of Kontum. And they wouldn't leave until they got a direct order ordering them to go down the road. On the other end, coming in from Binh Dinh, the battalion coming down the road fiddled and faddled along the way with a tank company, and we finally barely got them up to the pass where they were supposed to have been early this morning. The next thing, we had a B-52 strike scheduled for tomorrow, and there's a reflector we had to plant down the valley. The Marines had to seize a position to plant the reflector, which the big bombers would guide on, and of course the Marines went down the valley very slowly, and we had to take the damn thing by 6:30 this evening at least, so we could send a message for the planes to take off. We didn't want them to take off and not have the reflector in position, but just at the last minute, everything fell in place. Of course, during the day, all sorts of things went wrong. The air assault went all right, but the C-130 coming into the airport at Ankei blew a couple of tires, and when they tried to change the tires, a jack went through the surface of the airport. These are Vietnamese airports, and our big, heavier airplanes landing on them one after another are tearing them all up, and rocks are bouncing out of the base material of the airport, laying on the top and cutting the tires. It's a real, real fiasco. However, believe it or not, everything is working. And these are just the little things that go wrong along the way that cause people to tear their hair out. But, as I say, here it is, late on D-Day, and we're approaching D+1, and our big strike with the B-52s goes off, and followed by a jump off of the airborne battalion from the west here, going toward the east, and the other one coming down to link up. Incidentally, today our reconnaissance teams deep off the flank of the highway are turning in reports that the VC companies are starting drifting down toward the highway, so I wouldn't be surprised in the next couple of days that we really get into something. Of course, I'm sweating out tomorrow. The airborne battalion's going down a valley right in the same place we were ambushed in February and not taking the high ground on the north or left flank. I've told them to do this, and no, they feel they can cover their flank with artillery, which I disagree with 100%. Well, that's about it for now. I've got to check off, go to bed so I can get up in the morning and go down and see what in the hell's happening tomorrow. Well, here we go again. We had our B-52 strike this morning. It was quite a thing. 500 tons of bombs. The strike lasted for nearly 1 hour. They came over in V's of three and dropped their strings of bombs across this area. Let me tell you, they really churned up the whole side of a mountain. Unfortunately, as usually happens in one of these, one stick of bombs got stuck in one of the airplanes and dropped a few seconds late. Of course, at their speed and so forth, this put them out 7 to 9 clicks away from the end of their bombing zone. Put them on the north side of Highway 19, and they lit across the road from a village and right next to a Marine artillery battery. Unfortunately, three of the Marines were wounded, but not too badly. Of course, you can imagine what a hoorah this caused on the part of all the other Air Force officers from TAC and the Army officers and all the rest. They're really razzing the representatives from SAC who are here. Saying, here you people have been talking for 10 years of how accurate you are, what you're going to do, and so forth. You come in and bomb a target with a reflector set at the end of it, and you nearly knock off the reflector. This reflector was in the village where the bombs lit. So as I say, it's really something. Unfortunately, when the troops went through the area there, they found out the VC had not moved into the area, so all we got was some sticks and stones on the side of the hill. Well, if nothing else, I think it must have had some psychological effect, because the... I know sitting up in a plane watching all these going off, it's quite a sight. And I imagine the VCOPs up there take a look at that and really shudder, figure it might be down in their area. They're pretty good, however, at hiding in the jungle. We all got to check off for now and get ready to go the next day. Well, here we go. Saturday, the exercise is finally over. Things went along very well. We moved nearly 3,000 tons of equipment up the road during this period of time that we had it open. We finally closed it down, and tomorrow we're going to start flying some of our people out, the Airborne Brigade back to Saigon, some of the Marines back, and so forth. We'll be back down to our normal strength here in the area. So it was very interesting, Seymour, on one thing. We're using SLAR here, this side-looking radar, and also Red Haze, which is the infrared device. They're really fine, and I think we've got a great future in this. We picked up certain areas with red haze where we had the concentrations of the campfires and so forth. As soon as we picked them up, we started putting SLAR on them also, and they could pick up smaller groups of patrols moving. We found it surprisingly accurate because many of the movements they plotted on the map, they picked up patrols of our own which were out to the flanks. Incidentally, as soon as we'd get indications there were any VC in a certain area, we'd start, even at night, start bombing up there. And we're having a hell of a lot of bombing strikes around here, at times as many as 80 or 100 strikes in a day. So we're getting a hell of a lot of support. In fact, we're getting more support here than I ever saw in Korea, in our even in our regimental area. As you can well imagine, this is the number one thing going in Vietnam at this time, so that all the ships at sea and all the airplanes at Da Nang and down at Saigon and every place else are on the alert to be used in this area. So things worked out very well, and I actually think what's probably happened here, the VC have decided with this massing of troops, they didn't want to
really lock with us at this time. I'm sure they've got their own time schedule and so forth, and they didn't want to get into a big hassle here. But we had to be prepared for it in case they did. I feel they must have sent a couple of battalions, one north of the road and one south of the road, to start in moving in toward us to start in harassing our companies along the road and battalions. However, I think these airstrikes really hurt them pretty badly, because in a couple of the areas where we had airstrikes, where we had indications of a VC, we got some secondary explosions indicating that we'd hit some of their mortar and small arms supplies in the area. Well, that's about it. Our operation here along Highway 19 was a big success. Now we're faced with the problem that the rainy season is still with us, and incidentally, the last couple of days it's been raining just like hell. And we have finally identified all three regiments of the 325th North Vietnamese Division here in our area. The 101st Regiment in Con Tum, the 95th Regiment in the vicinity of Pleiku, and the 18th Regiment down in Hau Van. In addition to these three regiments, we have two and maybe three other VC regiments which are concentrating in the highlands here. One other one down in Hau Van, or Phu Van province, and another one up in Con Tum. So they have the capability of really giving us the fits here if they want to. One thing I worry about is Western Pleiku. We have lost our district capital out there, and the VC now are setting up their own government on the villages which lead in along Highway 19.